Module 4. Spoiled for choice. Unit 4.1. Exercise 2, page 104.
First days. From the moment we returned from the violent heat of East Africa, we were soaked by the continuous drizzle of a fine English summer. It was not a particularly promising introduction to life back in England after 3 years of being baked under the Kenyan sun. Nevertheless, the leaden skies of August could not make me any less enthusiastic about my fast approaching return to British education. I was about to enter a South London comprehensive. At the time, I was totally unaware of the shock that was awaiting me, one much worse than adapting to the dismal climate. I was just looking forward to making lots of new friends and getting stuck into school life. I was under the impression that the other pupils would be interested in my stories about Africa and would instantly warm to my sparkling personality. Unfortunately, however, I had really been looking at things through rose-tinted glasses, and it wasn't long before I experienced a much darker, unappealing side of things. On the first day of term, I bounded into the noisy assembly hall, eager to size up my new classmates. As I scanned the room, which was packed with huddled clusters of teenagers, I got my first suspicions that becoming part of their cozy groupings might not be as easy as I had imagined. They all seemed to have an air of belonging as they laughed and chatted together. I tried to look relaxed and carefree, but no one so much as glanced in my direction, let alone tried to introduce themselves. It turned out to be an uncomfortable morning in my new class, but as the hours dragged by, I tried to work out what would be a good plan of attack for getting in on the action. It began to dawn on me that what was needed was a little effort on my part. So at break, I swallowed my pride and strolled over to a group of boys standing by the gates to say hello. The tallest was a dark-haired lad with a permanent sneer on his face. "Where did you get your shiny shoes, mate?" was all he said. I looked down at my new leather shoes and noticed that everyone else was wearing the latest trainers. Before I could think of something amusing to say, they had begun to wander back to class, leaving me red-faced and dumbfounded by the gate. At the end of my first day, I stormed out of the classroom as soon as the final bell rang, almost knocking over a girl who was passing along the corridor. I was fuming. I had arrived that morning full of hopes for a bright new future, only to have them dashed on the hard rocks of teenage indifference. The dark clouds above my head seemed to settle around me as I trudged back home, reminding me of how grim the day had been. I was so enraged that I almost didn't hear someone calling my name, and I turned round to see a boy from my class, Brian, running to catch up with me. "You haven't exactly been made to feel welcome today, have you?" he said, beaming at me. "You could say that," I replied sarcastically. He laughed and suggested I give him my mobile number and he would text me later. "But I haven't got a mobile," I told him, my heart sinking once again. A look of utter amazement spread across his face and he suddenly went very quiet while I waited for him to reply. Finally, he took a deep breath. "Look, if I were you, I'd get a mobile. Everyone has one. And while you're at it, sort yourself out with a decent pair of trainers." Then he was gone. I walked into the house and flung my blazer and bag down in the hall. My mum popped her head round the living room door and asked how my first day had gone. "Can you please tell me why I need a mobile phone and trainers if I want to make any friends?" I replied. I was so stony-faced that I think she knew better than to reply. So she just stood there looking confused as I stomped up the stairs and slammed my bedroom door shut.